Hello and welcome to the first module of this Jumpstart and Azure Rights Management. In order to help explain all of Azure Rights Management to you guys in the best possible way, I went out into Microsoft to find someone who I believe is the one of the best experts that we actually have on Azure RMS across the entire board. And joining me for somewhat of a British takeover is Carol Bailey. Carol, welcome to the MVA studio. You are the person that writes the documentation for Azure Rights Management. So all of the documents that these folks out there use in order to be able to get up and running are the things that you create on a daily basis.
Yep, that's right. I work for Dan Plastina's team. So I do the documentation for Azure RMS and Azure Key Vault, which you heard Dan mention as well.
Yeah. We've Dan mentioned that we're actually keeping Azure Key Vault mainly out of this content. So that's probably somewhere that if you guys want us to look at that again in the future, you should let us know and we'll create some content specifically around that. And speaking of you guys, you can ask questions at any time on the Q&A, which you'll find inside of the Microsoft Virtual Academy screens that you're watching this through. So please feel free to take a look at those questions. I'm also taking a look at them as they roll in, and we'll try and answer some of those as we are live during the Jumpstart. But we've also got some folks that are out there inside of the Q&A environment that hopefully should be able to answer some of those questions for you. So when we think about what we're going to be covering today, you can see the course agenda just behind me here. We're going to start off by how we go away and activate and enable Azure RMS. We're then going to look at how we can protect those files. We're going to look at how we can track and revoke the access to protected files. And we're going to look at how we can build and maintain templates. And then we're going to take a look at how you can integrate with some of the on-premises components that you really might need to be integrating Azure Rights Management with. So without further ado, to start off this module, we're going to start off with a primer on rights management, just so that anybody who hasn't been with us for the last half an hour really has in their minds some of the capabilities of Azure RMS. Then we're going to have a look at how we go and do the deployment actions. We're going to have a look at installing the RMS sharing app, and also how we can configure Microsoft Office 365 in order to be able to use Azure Rights Management. So, starting off with data protection. We have the ability, and have had for a very long time, to protect data with rights management. Everything that you may have learned in the past about rights management is still totally valid. You don't need to go away and relearn all of the basics of rights management. However, if you've never touched rights management before, it's actually become much more, well, simple to go and actually deploy. And as Dan was saying a little earlier on, you don't need to deploy all of the incredible hardware on-prem, which may have been needed in the past. So that means that we have the ability to integrate with everything which has already been built around RMS. So that means things like SharePoint, Exchange, the file servers that you might have on-prem, they can all be integrated with Azure Rights Management in order to be able to leverage the protections that you might expect. We've also made it so it's much easier to share documents more securely. Previously, you'd have had to stand up the rights management environment, then in a partner company, stand up a rights management there in order to be able to, and then have some kind of exchange of trust in order to be able to securely and safely share documents. Now, because all of that just stands up inside of the cloud, that makes our life a lot easier. But one of the major investment areas has, as Dan was saying earlier, has actually been to make sure that rights management works on any device that you might be going ahead and using. So you might want to be opening files up on an iOS or an Android device, or you might want to be opening up your files on a Windows device. You might be storing those documents somewhere in the cloud. The investments that we've made have actually made it so that actually you're going to be pretty much able to protect your information wherever you go. Now, to just dive into a little bit more detail and go a little further for folks that may not have ever used rights management before, Carol, what do we actually do inside of rights management?
Well, this goes back to what Dan was explaining about how we can encrypt documents using our content key and the Azure RMS tenant key. So as we can see here, we've got an example of the secret cola formula. So this gives you an example of the typical type of document that is important to an organization. Obviously, they don't want that to be generally available to everyone. So you've got to start off with an unprotected document here and you want to protect it. When we go through to the next step, we can see how we've got the usage rights actually being applied, and we've got a content key which is also then encrypted with the RMS content key, sorry, with the RMS tenant key. Now, the most important thing here is that the secret cola formula itself doesn't leave your premises. If that document is on your premises, it stays on your premises. The only thing that's going up to the cloud here is the policy, which we actually use to protect the document. So when you have a look at this, this diagram, for example, you can see that the usage rights here, the bit in green, is the bit that's actually in the cloud, whereas your secret cola formula itself is still remaining under your control on your premises, if that's where you're storing it. Then that goes off to the cloud to be protected in the policy. When someone is authorized to actually read that, they get authorized in the cloud, and then the usage policy is read to say, okay, that person's now authenticated. What usage rights do they have? Can they read it? Can they print it? Can they copy it? Whatever. And then once they've got that, then the document then becomes available to read. It still remains protected, even though it's still encrypted if it's at rest. Other people still can't access it, but you can read it. If you were then to share it to someone else, or you were to save it somewhere else, it still remains protected.
So there is literally no way to access it without having the authentication, and we're not keeping the data for you in the cloud. You get complete control over where it actually ends up.
Yeah, that's a very important point. Some people think because it's a cloud service, then we automatically send that data up to the cloud. We can't say your data never goes to the cloud because we don't have control over that. I mean, you might be using a cloud service already,
yeah.
Or you might be sharing it on a cloud storage device. But the point is, the services that we offer for protecting it don't actually require that data to go up to the cloud.
Yeah. So when we start to think about the content never ever being sent anywhere, it actually does become an incredibly important thing for access, and I guess anybody can use the RMS SDKs in order to actually build their application in order to work within the environment. So when we start to think about the tasks that are required for deployment of Azure RMS, we start off by thinking about the technical the requirements inside of your organization. That's probably the first thing that everybody needs to be thinking about. As we were talking about with Dan earlier, what are those easier wins that make it easy to deploy inside of your organization? And then how do you go and actually move forward? What are the technical requirements for putting things into place? Then we move on to having a subscription. We need a subscription in order to be able to use RMS. There has to be some way of paying for that service. And it's normally included with things like your Office 365 agreement, or it might be included with RMS, or if you don't have either of those, you can go and get Azure RMS as a standalone offering as well. The next high-level thing you need to do is actually to configure your Azure AD tenant, and you're probably going to need to be synchronizing that with your on-premises Active Directory as well. If you want to find out exactly how to do that, go and check back to the first installment of this series, where we spent quite a lot of time talking about Azure AD Sync, how you can really get down into the nuts and bolts of synchronizing, rebuilding the information inside of Azure AD that you need to in order to be able to use certain services. Then, optionally, you might go and deploy ADFS if you don't want authentication to go through the cloud. You might also optionally go and do the bring your own key environment if you want to be bringing your own key into our HSMs. Then, probably the key thing, you need to turn it on. You need to turn on RMS inside of one of the portals, and we'll show you through those a little bit later on. Then you're going to have to go and configure the applications and services to make sure that they are actually using the protection. So inside of Office, for example, you're going to configure IRM. Then when we start thinking about what you're going to do to make sure it's all working, testing, having your tests in place is the next key step. And then finally, how are you going to move out into production? And there's probably going to be a fairly considerable amount of customer training that you're going to have to think about there, and how you explain the use of RMS to folks inside of your organization. And that brings us on to exactly drilling into the Bring Your Own Key workflow. So, Carol, can you take us through Bring Your Own Key?
So Bring Your Own Key is a great feature that Dan talked about in the original intro. The main thing to remember about this is it is optional. I mean, if this isn't something that you require as a company, you don't have to do it. I mean, it is neat. And for some people, it will be a requirement. If you've got a security team, which is asking specifically about keys and HSMs, and they're drilling into that kind of detail, chances are your company will need this. But you don't need it to get started. By default, Microsoft creates a tenant key for you, and that will get you up and running, and you're perfectly fine to continue to use that. And in fact, if you're not sure whether you need the BYOK straight away, you can start off with your Microsoft managed key and then later change it. However, if you are interested in it, read up a little bit about it first. And basically, the high level steps here is we have a BYOK toolset which you need to download. What you do there is you actually create your key, first of all, in there. Then you will keep your master key. That's your key that you create. You keep that master key, but you are responsible for it. So this is when it comes at the cost of not just the hardware overheads, but the administrative overheads, because you are responsible for that key. You are responsible for backing it up. And if something goes wrong, Microsoft can't help you out with it. So that's one of the trade-offs you need to think about. Once you've created a copy of that master key, you then reduce the permissions on it so that it can't be exported. And you can then securely transfer it to a Microsoft HSM.
Now, that used to be a process where you'd have to get on a plane, fly to Microsoft, and actually give it to us. And that's something we've taken away now. It can all just be done over the internet.
We still offer that option, but in most cases, I think it's probably better for most customers if you can do it over the internet. And we do encrypt that key to make sure that it's no use to anyone else in that process. So it is a secure process. I mean, we have more details on exactly how it's secured if you have any concerns about this. And at that point, your key is then transferred to the Microsoft HSMs, and we can replicate and scale that when and if needed. And from that point on, anything that you use and will be protecting your documents will be using your key that you actually created. We said here that BYOK can be performed at any time, and that's quite correct. If it's something that you know you definitely want to do, then it probably is best to do it straight away so that you know that your documents are being protected with your key right out of the gate, so to speak. But however, the one thing to bear in mind is that it can't be reversed today. So it is a one step, as in, you know, you can go to BYOK, but you can't go back to Microsoft managed. You can be Microsoft managed and then go to BYOK later. So it's not a step you want to take lightly here. We have one slightly sticking point with some customers at the moment. Exchange Online at the moment doesn't support BYOK. So that's something to factor in when you're having a look to say, do I need BYOK and do I need it now?
So we just got a quick diagram of exactly that flow so that you can see exactly kind of what's happening just here. We're taking, as Carol says, that master key, moving it up into one of the racks of HSMs that we have inside of Azure. And one of the things that I think is really cool is that you can actually see how often your key is being used. And you get a nice log that will literally give you that level of depth, which with this kind of thing is always incredibly important whenever audit time kind of rolls around. So when we think about activating RMS, I'm going to show you this in just a second, but it's actually a fairly straightforward process for a tenant. There's a couple of places where you can do the activation. The first one being inside of Azure RMS itself. So we'll have a look at that in a moment, taking us through actually going into the Azure portal and finding all of the components for RMS in there. And we'll also use that as an opportunity to just orientate ourselves on where things are for Azure for RMS inside of the Azure portal. And the other option is that you can go ahead and actually activate it directly from within Office 365. So if you don't have anything set up in Azure, don't worry. You can just do this directly from Office 365 as well. So we'll just move over and have a quick look at this inside of a demo environment. Oops, let's just get that open. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to bring my demo environment just up here for a moment. So the very first thing that I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm looking at my Active Directories inside of the Azure portal. So I'm just going to go back for a second here. And you'll see all the list of all of the directories that I'm actually managing at this point in time. So I'm going to go find this one just here. Azure RMS Jumpstart 2 is the one that we're going to be using. Now I'm going to go across to Rights Management, which is actually a top level pivot. And from this point, we're going to see, again, a list of all of my directories. And we'll see the directories which have already been activated for rights management. So we'll see, for example, that Jumpstart 1 is active, but Jumpstart 2 is currently inactive. So the very first thing that we need to do is select that inactive Jumpstart. And then we'll move down and right at the bottom, activate that particular RMS environment. And it's going to ask me to confirm, which will say yes. And it's now activated the environment. So you'll see that it appears as active. And then we now have the ability to click a deeper level. So we'll go ahead and click in. Then it takes us to the quick start for rights management. That actually is all that's involved in getting us up and running with this particular environment. We are now active. So we now have the ability to use a couple of templates which have already been provisioned for us. So there's a couple of default templates which appear automatically, and we'll talk about exactly what those are a little later on. But it's a really straightforward process to actually get ourselves up and running. So the next thing that you're probably going to want to be able to go ahead and do is go and grab the RMS sharing application and get that installed. Do you want to take us through RMS sharing?
Right. Well, for Windows, you have a couple of different options. If you want to try this yourself first off, especially for testing, you've got a local install. That's probably the best way to get up and running. You've also got a scripted install, which obviously is going to be what you want to do in a production environment. You've got, within that itself, you've also got another couple of options. So the RMS sharing app by default, for example, will automatically prompt if there's a new version. And that's great because you can get the new functionality and any new fixes that might be coming along nice and quickly. But in some production environments, obviously, they want a more controlled installation. So with the scripted install, you can actually roll out a registry edit to say, I don't want my users to be prompted every time there's a new version. I want to more methodically control that versioning and perhaps do your own testing on it first. So that's one of the things that you can control if you're actually doing a scripted install. And there's also another option in there that you can control how files get protected. And we're going to go into that in a bit more detail, I believe, Simon, when we talk about the native and the generic protection level. So that's a couple of options you get with the scripted install. But obviously, first to have a look at it and to get going, you'll do the local install. And then we've also got options for the mobile devices. There's a central page where you can go and get links for all the installation options, which make them nice and easy for you to go and find these. And in fact, when users get emailed a protected document, they'll have instructions to go and install the RMS sharing app. And the link will take them to that particular page, which I think you're going to show them in just a minute.
Yeah. So portal.aadrm.com/home/download is the portal that you can just type into your browser. You can do that right now if you want to, although probably best not to type it into the browser that you're watching this with. And then you can see the kind of, I guess this is the information worker style screen that actually starts to explain where things
right.
are. And it also gives us access to be able to download the apps for each particular platform. So including all of the mobile devices, they're going to take you across to the Android store, the Google store, etc. The Android store, the iTunes store, in order to be able to get hold of those applications. And also, they can learn more about the specific applications as well and the capabilities of each of those applications. So that will actually take us across to a page where we can see exactly what all of the client capabilities are on each individual platform. So we'll be able to start to scroll down and see exactly what we can do where on which platforms.
So this is a table which I update very regularly.
Yeah.
So if you have an application that you really like and you're interested in and it doesn't appear on here, definitely keep an eye on this table, because when new apps come along and new support comes along, then this does get updated.
Yeah, it's one of those incredible resources that you actually keep updated for everybody. So that's a fabulous place to be able to find that. So let's talk about enablement in Office 365. There's a few things that you need to do inside of Office 365 to enable IRM, Information Rights Management, as it is called inside of Office. Very first thing is at the global level, you need to go and turn on rights management for your Office 365 tenant. So you can find this inside of the overall settings. Then for each particular area inside of SharePoint and Exchange, you have to do slightly different tasks. So inside of SharePoint, again, we need to go and turn on information rights management for all of your SharePoint environments. And then you need to go and turn on rights management for the document libraries that you want to protect. And this is the point at which you can actually start to specify exactly what rights are going to be applied to the files inside of that document library. So for example, as Dan was talking about earlier, we can actually say that everybody that goes into that document library and downloads a file has the file protected just for their own access, and they can't do anything more with it. And you can get very granular about exactly what you want to be enabling there. You can also do that for lists inside of SharePoint as well. It's not just for document libraries. Then inside of Exchange Online, there's no UI, which is always fun. So this is where you need to break out some PowerShell. And if you're administering Exchange Online, the chances are you already know how to go ahead and create those connections up to Exchange Online in order to be able to do all of that configuration. But it's a case of actually taking a look at the documentation, because what you need to do is, as you're enabling the access for Exchange Online, you need to make sure you're enabling access to the right, to the correct Azure RMS services. So you need to have the region-specific information in there, which is actually highlighted in red on this slide. Really is important to make sure you have the correct server for the location of your Office 365 services. And then you need to bring the key into your Office 365 Exchange Online environment. Then you need to enable the functionality. So it's a kind of three-step process that you need to go through again in order to enable that inside of Exchange Online. And obviously, as you can see there, the location for those detailed procedures is inside of the slide deck, and you can download this deck inside of the Microsoft Virtual Academy environment as well. Then we need to think about how we're going to enable Office 365 in the RMS apps. It's actually a pretty straightforward process. For the apps that come from Office 365, the user is going to sign into those applications. So once they've done that, then they're actually automatically authenticated to against Azure Active Directory. And therefore, we're able to just check their rights to the documents automatically and usually without having to prompt them again. For Azure Rights Management. For Office 2010, you actually have to ask them to sign in with their credentials a couple of extra times. So there's an extra step there, but 2013 is much easier from that point of view. If you take the RMS sharing application, you'll also find, as we'll see a little bit later on through this jumpstart, that actually the button starts appearing inside of Office as well. So it gives you another option to enable protection. Okay, so that brings us roughly to the end of our first module inside of this course. We're going to take a 5-minute break in a couple of moments' time, but just to give you some of the resources so that you can go ahead and actually find out more about everything we've talked about through the course of this first module, you'll be able to find out detailed procedures on how to do those things that we've talked about, where the detailed procedures are for enabling Exchange, for enabling SharePoint, for enabling the access to Azure Rights Management. And just to give you a quick summary, we have talked about enabling Azure RMS inside of various environments, either Azure RMS or inside of Office 365. We've also talked about how you can configure Office 365 and how you can configure the RMS sharing app. So we're going to take a 5-minute break, and when we come back, we'll be entering our next module.